Just come up here. Come on. All right, everyone. We're gonna. I didn't want to stop the noise. Actually, I kind of like the noise. It means we're all having a really good time. So here, we're gonna do something a little weird. Everyone, we're gonna recite a verse to each other. Okay, here we go. Everyone, turn to your neighbor. Pick a neighbor. Pick a partner, real quick. All right. Everyone, recite. Let's see. We should all know by now. Ephesians 3:16. Okay, so it starts with that. Ready? Go. That he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit into the inner man. Amen. Okay, no, that's 17. No, don't go to 17. Oh, no. Okay, wait, come back. Come back. Hey, okay. Okay, hold on, hold on. No, you went too far. You definitely went too far. Wait a minute. Okay, that's 17. Now you're turning to the other neighbor. Turn to the other neighbor. We're going to say 17. You went too far. That Christ may make his home in your heart through faith. Tony, stop that, Tony. Okay. Okay, that's good. Okay, stop. Stop it. Okay. Yeah? Amen. Awesome. Okay, okay, just one more. We're going to say it all together. Hopefully by now we know Ephesians 4:23. If you need to cheat, it's okay. It's okay. It's an open memory verse sheet test. Okay. Ephesians 4:23. No. No, no. All together. No, 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 no. In unison, in oneness. Not in division. Okay, amen. Go. At you. Hallelujah. Amen. What was the song you want to sing? Where are you? Come on. Come on.
Let's sing Psalm 32.
32. Okay, let's sing a song together. Yeah, Zach, come up here with me. No, no, no. No, Zach, I meant come up here. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Amen. How many of us know song 16? Go to this number 16. This is going to be fun. A lot of us probably don't know this, including me. So Zach's going to teach it to me while the rest of us teach it to everyone while we sing it. We're going to try it. You got it? You don't need the microphone. You know it. No, he knows it. We're just going to try to sing it together. Okay, do we have enough who know it? How many know it? Raise your hand. That's not too many. Wow, that's about 10. Okay.
Alan, how about we sit down?
Yeah, let's sit down so we can hear each other a little bit better. Should we bring him up?
It,
yeah.
If you don't know it, don't join in until we at least sing it once. Okay.
Should some others come up and we can hear it?
If you know it really well, maybe you could come
who
up.
Knows it? Yeah. Do you know it, Mark? Mark, do you know it? Come on, Mark. That'd be good. Okay, good. So I'm going to learn it too. See, I don't know it. So praise the Lord.
On the Amen, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for walking along the road with us. Oh, Lord, thank you we could be here in this training. Thank you that we can open our hearts to you. Thank you that you opened your heart to us. Lord, do continue to open your heart to us today. Lord, shine on us in all these matters. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord, for all of these messages. Lord, make these things so practical to us. Oh, Lord, thank you for companions. Thank you for showing us the importance of our companions. Lord, we pray that this would be so practical to us. Oh, Lord, we pray that this would be our daily living. Lord, we pray that this would be, you would remind us of the importance. Lord, even as we leave the training, Lord. Oh, Lord, this would be on our hearts, Lord. Oh, as it's on your heart, Lord. Oh, Lord, do continue to shine, Lord. Continue to show us the revelation of the mystery in all that we do, Lord, in all our daily living, Lord. Oh, please be so real to us, Lord. Continue, Lord. We just give ourselves to you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so in this message, morning session 2, message 4, we come to the practicing of the twos or threes. So before we begin, just kind of want to give a little bit of a review of this line on practicing the twos and threes. So okay, so on, Lord's Day? Lord's Day, we talked on our message one was on pursuing. P-U-R. I always spell pursuing wrong, I'm sorry. Even when I spell it with a U, I still get it wrong. Okay, pursuing Christ, okay? Let's just say pursuing Christ. Did I get it right? P-U-R? Yeah, okay. Okay, and then message two is on practicing, okay? This is just kind of a little bit of a visual, even though the brothers don't like my graphs, sorry. Okay, practicing the twos and threes. Amen, oh Lord. Okay, and then the third message is on praying, okay? Praying, binding and releasing prayers, okay? Okay? So these three messages form kind of a bit of a cycle, okay? So these are things that are constantly going on as we move forward in these next two messages. The next two messages, today's message is on preaching, okay? And then message five is on perfecting, okay? And the perfecting, so preaching is to others, and then the perfecting is of others, okay? So we want to try to make this clear that there's a bit of a kind of a separation here. In these messages, in that the first three messages on pursuing, practicing the twos and threes, and praying, binding, and releasing prayers form a kind of a life cycle. Okay, so they are something that we need to do all the time. Okay, as we pursue, we practice, and as we practice, we pray, and we just keep going back and forth all the time. And preaching is also something that we need to do all the time, but these first three are kind of for the next two, you could say, okay? Before we get to perfecting others, we need to be in this, in kind of a cyclical way, right? A continual way. And so we need to just kind of establish that as our view, as our vision, and how we make the twos and threes practical. Earlier in the week, we had some stand up who were kind of in the twos and threes, who have companions or who regularly pray with their companions, and that's good. I kind of wanted to, I was asking the brothers if this was okay earlier. I kind of would like to set a goal, okay, that next year when we come back to the college training and we have this question, who is in the twos and threes, and who is praying with a companion, who is preaching the gospel with a companion, I really hope that we would have everybody stand up, okay? And I don't say that to criticize the ones who didn't. You know, it's okay. There's no condemnation. But I'm really hoping that this year will be kind of a hallmark year for us, in that what we can do is we can realize the importance of the twos and threes and the importance of having a vital companion in your life. And maybe by next year... Maybe by next year we're not at number five, okay? I'm not saying that that's not important. It is important, okay? But this is something we kind of build to. We build to the idea, we build to having a practice where we are preaching the gospel in a regular way and we're perfecting others in a regular way, okay? But these three, especially number one, is something that we shouldn't need to build up. What we should just jump in, okay? And so what I'm hoping is that even right now, even during this training, and I've been hearing a lot of testimonies of some who are doing this, start considering and start praying right now, Lord, who would you have me with? And even start communicating with them right now about who, you know, maybe send them a text. Can we pray together? Can we pray together two or three times a week, you and I, you know, and just start to build that up, okay? Start to just jump right in, actually. And then you'll see that the preaching and the perfecting, and the preaching we'll talk about right now, will come as a result of that. Okay. So my goal, my hope, is that next year, again, it's not to condemn those who don't, but by next year we could say yes, we have all of us are in these vital groups, right? All of us have these twos and threes. And a little, just a kind of a little practical note. What you'll find is that the enemy will really attack, okay? The enemy, he knows that this is the God-ordained way to defeat him. And so he'll attack your vital groups. And I can tell you from my own personal testimony, you know, there were a number of brothers who, when I graduated the full-time training, I said, brothers, we need to just pray. They actually weren't even in my locality. They're just brothers that I would call on the phone. So even four and five were a bit off the table because they're not local, they're remote brothers that I would just try to pursue Christ with, practice the twos and threes, and pray with. Actually just once a week. And once a week, you know, started once a week, and once a week turned into once every 2 weeks, and once every 2 weeks turned into once a month, and then once a month turned into twice a year, you know, and so and this brother, like one brother in particular, we haven't prayed in, I don't know when the last time we prayed together was. So I just texted him yesterday. I said, brother, we need to pray. You know, I actually know he's going through some difficult situations. And so I was like, brother, we just need to pray. How about this Lord's Day, 9:30? So I texted him and we set a definite time. You know, it's on schedule. I put it in my calendar. I set a reminder so that I wouldn't forget, you know. And so I'm just reestablishing that. And so my practical tip for you is that you'll find that when you establish this, when you establish your vital companions, your twos and threes, the enemy will come and he'll attack, okay? And there will be, you know, some failures and some falling away, but just, you know, if the time is called now, it's a good time to start it again, okay? So don't worry about failures. Don't worry about, oh, I haven't prayed in weeks or months, and now it's, you know, it's totally ruined the relationship. You know, that's a lie, right? Just reestablish and just keep jumping into this cycle, okay? Always have a view to just, you know, if the cycle breaks, it's a good time to restart it, you know. And so that's just my tip for you. Okay. So I wanted to show you So now getting into the preaching of the gospel specifically, let's open our Bibles to Luke 10, 1. This is one of the scripture reading verses. Okay, so Luke 10, 1, how about we read it all together? Whoever's got it, go. Practices that the Lord Jesus himself left us with was the going out in two by two, okay? So there's a few practices that the Lord Jesus himself implemented, but this matter of going and preaching the gospel two by two is something that the Lord himself did. But I really enjoyed the last phrase in this verse, right? It says, in every city and place where he himself was about to come, right? So here, the preaching of the gospel is directly linked with the Lord's coming, right? The Lord, when we go out and we preach the gospel, we are, in a sense, paving the way. We are laying the tracks for the Lord to come back and have a way, okay? Okay, so now let's open to John 15:16. Okay, and whoever's got it, go. Amen. So he says, I set you. Praise the Lord. He set us. He put us here. He placed us in a particular position and in a particular place at a particular time so that we would go forth and bear fruit. So this is our commission and this is our charge. And I really enjoy this word. It says, whatever you ask the Father in my name. So I really like the word whatever, okay? Now that's not to say, now we need a little context here, right? The context of whatever is not saying that if we ask for, what, a Lamborghini? I don't know. Think of the most, like a really nice PlayStation, I don't know, whatever, right? Whatever we ask, the Lord's going to give us, right? But the context of the whatever is for the fruit bearing, okay? But he does use the word whatever, right? So it is, in a sense, an open book. It's like a blank check. You know, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you, right? So this prayer is related to fruit bearing. When we pray in this way, when we pray for fruit, and when we pray for people, when we go out and we pray for the gospel, the Lord will certainly answer that prayer, because that is what's on his heart, and that's what he wants. And so, anyways, I really like how the Lord says, whatever, you know, it's meant to show us that really we need to, he's so burdened for the gospel that he's willing to give us whatever we need. You know, I'll give you whatever you need. You need, you know, anything, you know, just ask and it'll happen. So this brings us to Roman numeral 1. How about we read Roman numeral 1 all together? Amen. So every member has the function, the duty, and the responsibility to bring people to the Lord. So this is very important for us to realize. If you're in this room, if you're a member, it says every member of the body, and whoever's not a member of the body, stand up. Okay, so everybody here who's sitting has the function, the duty, and the responsibility of preaching the gospel. So it should just be something that we settle in our being. We realize we have the responsibility. You don't have the choice. It doesn't say you have the option, right? But it says that you have the responsibility to preach the gospel. But as we talked about the other day, you know, when we were talking about preaching the gospel, another word that I feel comfortable adding to this is the word privilege, right? We not only have the We not only have the function, the duty, and the responsibility, but we also have the privilege of preaching the gospel. And this is what you find when you go out and preach. The Lord will give you life, and this life will become so sweet. It'll become so enjoyable to you that your gospel preaching will not be, you know, that like that song. It says the song 904. We have a most glorious King. There's a line in that I really enjoy. It says, so duty is changed to delight, and prayer into praise as I sing. Right. So we just go, and when we go out for the Lord, when we preach the gospel, you'll find this will become your delight. It'll become something that you very much enjoy. So something from the ministry excerpts on page 48 talks about the gospel preaching, right? To release the souls is, in the first paragraph, to release the souls is the ultimate goal. To release the souls is the ultimate goal of our service. This is not merely a preaching work. This is the vital and ultimate goal of our Christian living. Right? So the reason the Lord has given us life, the reason the Lord has set us where we are, is so that we would preach the gospel. A good analogy that I like is you know, if the army, let's say the army sends soldiers to Afghanistan, what do they do for those soldiers? They provide them weapons and food and water and clothing and shelter and all kinds of things. For what purpose? It's not so that they could go out there and enjoy life, but it's so that they could go out there and fight the battle, right? So if they go out there and they refuse to fight the battle, then, you know, perhaps the army might just cut them off, right? Why are we sending all these supplies out to the middle of the desert if you're not even going to fight the war, right? And so this is what we experience when with the gospel preaching, right? We've received the divine life from the Father. The Father has given us a lot of things. He's, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give you for the preaching of the gospel. But if you won't go preach the gospel, then there's going to be a cutting off of the supply. This is not a loss of eternal salvation, right? We don't lose our salvation, but we do lose the enjoyment of our salvation, which is vital for our Christian life, even for our church life to go on. Okay, so how about we read Roman numeral 2 altogether? We must learn. Amen. So A says, we must have a real love and concern towards sinners, always bearing the burden for people's souls with a praying spirit. We gain people by showing an intimate concern for them. So the verses here, Luke 10, 25 through 37, is on the Good Samaritan, right? The parable of the Good Samaritan. And then 15 was actually on the song that we sang earlier about the 15, 1 through 32, about the shepherd who left the 99 behind to go find the lost one, the woman who was sweeping to find the lost coin and found it, the son, the prodigal son of the father who was constantly looking for the son and saw him and ran to him and fell upon him and kissed him and clothed him with the best robe, right? These are all God's heart for sinners. But this should also be our heart for the sinners as well. So the Lord said in the parable of the Good Samaritan, you go and do likewise. The Good Samaritan represents the Lord Jesus as the one who found the broken man. But when he says go and do likewise, he's telling us to do the same, okay? So B, the gospel should be our living and not just a work. We should live for the gospel, not being content to merely have good meetings and little growth in the church, right? So we should live for the gospel. Our whole life should be for this. And again, we can turn Roman numeral 1 into, you know, just realize this is our commission, this is our duty, but it's also our whole living, and we enjoy it. Okay, so C, preaching the gospel is truly a matter of faith. We must learn to walk and to work by faith, not by sight, appearance, feeling, or any kind of circumstances. So I heard a story once, a gospel story about a brother who was preaching the gospel to somebody, and he told him to say Jesus is Lord, and the guy wouldn't say it. So then he compelled him with boldness. I don't know if I have the boldness to do this, but this brother compelled him to say, okay, say Jesus is not Lord. And the guy said it. The guy said, Jesus is not Lord. And so later he found out, because the guy came back to him later, this guy who said Jesus was not Lord, he was driving down the road, and all of a sudden his car started to spin out, right? And he was fearing for his life. And as his car was spinning out, he's like, Jesus is Lord, right? Jesus is Lord, right? So what you realize is that in our gospel preaching, it's a matter of faith, right? It's not a matter of appearance. Here's somebody who says Jesus is not Lord. I mean, what a statement to say, right? But here, something got in, right? Something happened when he, you know, in this matter, in this moment, and it affected him. And so now when he, you know, the Lord had to put him, you know, risk his life, right? So that he would say Jesus is Lord. So when we preach preach by faith, and we don't get too downtrodden by the circumstances. People reject you, it's okay. Just shake off the rejection dust. That's what we call it, right? The Lord said, you know, kick the dust off your feet and go into the next city, right? So it's fine. And actually, even my own personal testimony, you know, I'm just so thankful that there were some ones specifically who were, you know, who were praying for me, and who would preach to me, even though I, you know, totally rejecting it, arguing and, you know, didn't want anything to do with it, but they were just faithful, you know, to preach and to pray. And I found out later, I can't tell you how many people, when I got saved, they were like, I was praying for you. And I'm like, why? You know, why were you praying for me? You know, it's because these ones had faith, right? They had faith. They weren't looking at my, they were just disregarding my nonsensical philosophical arguments, and they were just praying and preaching, so it was good. So when we go to preach, we must learn to speak something about Christ, this living one, not ministering doctrines, but rather the living Christ to people. So if you want to bring somebody into the experience of something, how are you going to do that? Well, you just bring them into the experience of it, right? So if you want somebody to play basketball with you, what do you do? Do you explain to them the physics of basketball? Do you explain to them, you know, I don't know, all the, like, the stats of the greatest NBA players? And no, you don't preach doctrines to them, right? You just bring them and show them. Maybe you give them a little bit of the rules, which is good. I mean, that's not to say that our Christian life is totally devoid of you know, knowledge or doctrine, but really what we're really bringing people into is the experience. And so when you go out and play basketball, when you go out and play ultimate, we spent 2 or 3 minutes on the rules, explaining it to people who hadn't played yesterday, and then we just played, right? And everybody had a great time. So this is the way our Christian life is. When we go out and preach, we're not bringing people into doctrines. We're not going out there to teach them a lesson. We're really just going out there to bring them into the experience of Christ that we enjoy so much. And sometimes this happens to us, right? We don't know, like, actually, if you in the Gospels, there's a story about Philip. Philip is preaching the gospel to Nathanael at the end of John chapter 1, and Philip says, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets were talking about, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Well, Philip was wrong on two accounts, right? Because he wasn't born of Joseph, he was son of God, right? He wasn't Joseph's son, he was God's son. And he wasn't from Nazareth, he was born in Bethlehem, right? So Philip's gospel, when he tried to preach the doctrine, it was just, you know, totally wrong. And Nathanael said, oh, how can anything good be from Nazareth? And then Philip got simple, and he said, just come and see, right? So once his doctrine preaching was over, his gospel preaching began. And then he could say, just come and see, right? And then when Nathanael came and see, he was on his face. He's like, you are truly the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So this is what we need to have. We just need to bring people into the experience and drop our knowledge and our doctrines. Okay, so E, when we should not preach the gospel in an individualistic way, rather we should do everything corporately in the body through fellowship and coordination, including our twos or threes. With this realization, we will work not just by ourselves, but we will ask some others to work together with us in this way of coordination. In this way, the gospel will be powerful and prevailing. If we preach Christ, yet do not have fellowship and do not love one another, our fruit will be very limited. So in point one, you have this verse, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. So to strengthen this point, so this is really, and the second half of this message, which Jonah will give, is really about the twos and threes. You know, the first half of the message is mostly about preaching the gospel. But we need to see the effectiveness of the twos and threes. And so to do that, I asked some brothers to help me. Joshua, how about Jose? I'll call you. I'll get you in a minute. Joshua, come on up. So I have a little bit of an illustration. Actually, it's more of a game. Okay. So what we're gonna play is here. Joshua, you stand over here. Okay. And this game is right here. You don't have to be too physical. Okay. Don't knock me down because I know you can. But I'm gonna go there, right there. And if I get there, okay. So let's just say I am your roommate. Okay. I'm not saved. I know you're a Christian, but I don't know. Anyways, I'm not saved. Okay. If I get there, then I am going to the lake of fire. Okay. Ready? Go. Not too physical. Okay. Good. Okay. See, so this is what happens, right? When we preach the gospel on our own, I'm bigger than him, and I'll match him, okay? But now, Jose, come on up. So now he's getting. So what's he doing now? He's like, oh Lord, save Ryan. How are you going to save Ryan, Lord? Oh Lord, I need to pray with my companion, right? I need my companion. I need my big brother, Jose. Okay, Jose, you stand over here. Not too physical. Again, I don't want to get hurt. All right. So now he's praying with his companion. Josh and Jose are like best friends, right? So now if I get there, you know the deal, all right? Ready? Go. See? So this is the two are better than one, right? So, okay, brothers, thank you very much. The point is, and it's kind of a, I know it's a little bit of a cartoony illustration, but point is that when we need to see how outmatched we are, okay? Josh by himself could maybe take one or two in this room, right? But for the most part, he's outmatched, you know? And that's what we need to see when we're up in the gospel, when we go and we preach the gospel, especially when we preach the warm door gospel. I'm not talking about the cold gospel. Can we come up with another name than cold gospel? I don't know. That's so pejorative. Cold gospel, when we say the cold gospel, what we're talking about is people we don't know, okay? But when we're talking about people that we know, we say the warm gospel, okay? So you made a list yesterday of the people that you know, the people that you're burdened for. You should pray over that list, but you should pray over that list alone. I'm not saying don't pray over it alone. But you should also get with your companions because you need to see that this is really where the binding and loosing happens, right? When we pray for others, the Lord has a way. And I promise you, if you practice this, if you just get with one or two others and pray for the ones that you're burdened for, you'll see a change. It might not be instant. Don't look. Don't say, oh, a week went by and nothing happened, right? Or even a year. Don't look at the outward success, but you will, I promise, the Lord will answer your prayers in the twos and threes. And so in this way, when we go and we preach the gospel, our work will be prevailing and we'll gain a lot of fruit because Josh by himself can't do it. But Josh and Jose together could probably take everybody, you know. The success rate goes from like 2% to like 98%, okay? And so this is what will happen and this is what we need to be burdened for. Praise the Lord.
Amen, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you impressed? We need the twos and threes to preach the gospel. I love the verse that he referenced. Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. I learned that in like kindergarten, you know. Two is greater than one, yeah. but we need it. This is the pattern of the pattern shown to us in the New Testament. The Lord sent out two by two. Acts 13, the Lord is about to make a move into Europe. Major turn in the Lord's move. He begins with actually five that are ministering to the Lord and fasting. And the Spirit is able to speak, set apart from me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I have called them. So when we labor, it should be a labor in the body. And when we actually bring ones in, it is bringing them into the body. It's not your fruit. Rather, it is the fruit of the entire body. This is how we labor. So the gospel needs twos and threes. Let's read Romans 3 together. After taking the steps blended in the twos or threes through mutual fellowship, prayer, and care, we should go on to contact people for the increase of God's people. Okay. I'd also say, actually, the twos and threes needs fruit bearing. If you're meeting together in the twos and the threes, yes, we're pursuing the truth together, we're practicing, we're praying, we're loving one another, we call one another. But actually, we are in danger, actually, of being very contented with this. Oh, I love my companion. I love being with Ryan. I just want to be with Ryan all the time. Actually, sooner or later, actually, that can become very stale and very old. Sooner or later, you need to bear fruit. Okay? John 15 we all read that towards the beginning. I set you that you would go forth and bear fruit. Being set is being put into the vine with all the other branches. You're in the twos and threes. You're in the meeting life so that you could go forth and bear fruit. Actually, without the bearing of fruit, the twos and threes can actually lose the meaning. For an unbeliever, there's a meaning to human life. What's the meaning of human life?
Children.
Huh? No, I mean, you're preaching the gospel to an unbeliever. What do you tell them? What's the meaning of your human life? Yeah, you get God into you. Or actually, God in Christ. The meaning of your human life is Christ. So now you've received Christ into you. You're a Christian. What's the meaning of your Christian life? What's the revelation of the mystery? It's the church. Oh, we have to... If you're just a believer, individually, not so meaningful after a while. You need the church life. Amen. However, we can be in the meetings, in the church life. And imagine this college training. Year after year, we come here, we enjoy the Lord. And there's no new ones that come in. Freshmen, where are the freshmen? Can the freshmen stand up? Oh, that's wonderful. But 4 years later, if nobody new comes in, and it's just you guys, wouldn't you start to ask, why do I come to this? It's not so meaningful. It'd be much better, though, if you bring some. Bring some with you. Okay, so the meaning of our church life, you guys can sit back down. The meaning of our church life, fruit bearing. Our church life needs fruit bearing. Okay? In John 15, at the beginning, the Lord says, I am the vine, the Father is the husbandman. What's a husbandman? Does anybody know? Yeah. It's a farmer. It's a cultivator. He takes care of things. So the main charge in John 15 is to abide in the vine. But if we're just abiding in the vine, is the farmer happy with that? What's his business? What makes his business run? Fruit. Okay, so we're all abiding. We're together. We love one another. No fruit. The Father is not happy. Okay? So we need to be those, once we're in the cycle, we are abiding, we're enjoying the Lord, immediately, you should have the Spirit speaking to you, set out for me, sending you out, go, bear fruit. Matthew 28, 19, a lot of us are familiar with this. Go therefore, disciple all the nations. A sister verse to this is John 15. I set you that you could go forth and bear fruit. Okay? Okay, A. We should then pick up the burden and take action with our companions to contact others, either sinners or Christians. Pick up the burden to take action. Actually, by the way, my burden here actually is for you to actually get so you would have a burden actually to preach the gospel, and also to realize a lot of you, many of you, have a lot that you can already enter into. There's no need for you to reinvent the wheel. For you to get built together, to have coordination, many of you have things like internships, do you not? You have, I know our campus, we have some time actually before the beginning of the semester to get together. We have a pre-semester outing. Some of you that don't have these things, you should come to school a little early, get built with the saints, get blended, get built in so you can bear fruit. Then you can pick up the burden with your companions to contact others. I like this verse, Daniel 11:32. B. But the people who know their God will show strength and take action. People who know their God will take action. It's not that I have the ability that I take action. I know what I'm doing, so I take action. You know your God. John 15, God is the cultivator. He is the husbandman. Our God wants fruit. So, we know our God. What do? We take action. Again, not on our ability, not on gift, but this is according to faith. We trust the Lord wants fruit. The Lord will work it out. So we take action. And we contact people. We need to love people. This is the basis of our service. And since we are, many of us probably don't know what we're doing. I'm not so good at preaching the gospel. But we practice. Take action. Learn. The more you do it, the better you'll become. Point B. We should fellowship with our companions through desperate prayers for the Lord's blessing. I like the word that came up yesterday, and it's also here. It's the word desperate. Many of us, maybe we haven't borne any fruit. Or maybe if we've borne fruit, it's too slow. We're a little barren. How do you overcome barrenness? The way to overcome barrenness is being desperate. Okay? And yesterday, desperateness was mentioned. I found in the ministry, there's a definition for desperateness. To be desperate is to have an attitude that something is a matter of life or death. That's desperate. Remember, a branch is set in the vine. If you don't bear fruit, what happens? You get cut off. Actually, he says the branch dries up and is cast into the fire. You ever have a dry Christian life? Ever been dry before? Maybe you need to go preach the gospel. Right? Desperateness is driven by this sense of life and death. I mean, you were talking about exercising the other day. I go to the gym at UVA, and there's usually students and professors, and you can always tell who's working out desperately. You don't need to bench 315 to stay alive. You change your workout, actually, for health, with a certain kind of desperateness. Some of us are like me. I like to just read the word all the time. But actually, we realize if this is a sense of life and death, to have the riches of the enjoyment of Christ, we need to preach the gospel. So we need to pray. We don't pray religiously. Lord, give us fruit. Lord, give us fruit. Maybe actually we need to pray repenting prayers. Lord, forgive us for being barren. Forgive us, Lord, for not being desperate. Infuse into us a sense of desperation, Lord, that you could gain fruit Point C, we should set a definite goal with a strong determination to gain at least one remaining fruit yearly. I read this, I kind of was wondering how they came up with that. One a year. It seems pretty reasonable, it's not that bad. But why do it like that? I realized actually, this is the way life works. Fruit bearing is the issue of the divine life. It's not of gift. It's very abnormal to have a movement or to expect some brother to come to the podium to inspire you to go out and bear lots of fruit all at once. Okay, there are some good verses here. Jeremiah 17:8. And he will be like a tree transplanted beside water, which sends out its roots by a stream, and will not be afraid when heat comes, for its leaves remain flourishing. And it will not be anxious in the year of drought, and it will not cease to bear fruit. Revelation 22:2. And on this side and on that side of the river was the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month. It's continuous. Isn't that how the life of a vine works? If it's bearing fruit, it's not normal that fruit just pops out one year randomly. It's not normal that we just sit and we're waiting for inspiration to befall us, or maybe a new one to fall into our lap. The divine life within us actually bears fruit slowly and regularly. So this is where this comes from. But also, there's the divine life. It's also not right to just trust the divine life. A smart farmer doesn't just take seeds and just throw it out into the grass somewhere and just hope it grows at some point. You need to have a plan. You need to study a little bit. Where's the best place to plant seeds? Where's the best place to get fruit in the world? College campuses. Oh, yeah. What's the best way to do it? Who's the best people to get college students? Other college students. And of the college students, there's the best college students, the most open college students. Who are those? Freshmen. Okay. Who's the best people to get freshmen? Other freshmen. Like I said, maybe you freshmen, you should have a consecration before the Lord. Next year, let's get one. You're the best. When you get on campus, you have the way. It's just your face. I mean, I can't do it. When I have an appointment with people, when I meet people for the first time, the worst question that I always dread is they ask me, so what's your major? You know, and then I have to tell them I'm staff or something like that. And then just watch their face sink. They see a freshman, it's just like, oh yeah, come with me to the meeting. They all come. So. Bear fruit, yielding its fruit each month. It's regular. Bearing fruit is not a matter of miracle or gift. It is a matter of law. If you plan according to the life law, you will bear fruit. And consistently. It's not normal that we're inconsistent in our fruit bearing. We're consistent with everything else. We're consistent with our Bible reading, consistent with morning revival, getting together with the twos and threes. It shouldn't be that our fruit bearing all of a sudden is inconsistent. That's how life works. Point D, we should review our acquaintances and make a list of them, and then pray over this list and seek the Lord's leading concerning who should be the first for us to take care of. This is going into the category of follow-up. You get together at the beginning of the semester, you get built together. Some of you have beginning of the semester orientations. Oh, by the way, season is very important for planting too. Redeem the time. You've heard this verse? It's in Ephesians. Redeem the time. That's not chronos time in the Greek. It's not chronos, which is sequential time. It is kairos. Kairos means opportunity. Seize the opportunity. Redeem the time. What's the best time to get people? Summer orientation. First few days of school. You would be wise. If you have this burden within you, to show up at around that time. It's not because, you know, you don't show up to these things because you have some gap time between your classes. You show up because you're praying with your companion. Lord, one. I need one. Okay? And then, naturally, you show up to orientations. You get a big list. Jeremy was talking about when we were praying and you just write down a list. That's going to be already big. You add the list that you get from orientation, it should be really big. Okay? Can you take care of all of those? No. Actually, even the Lord's care is not like that. The pattern in the Bible is not like that, to take care of the masses. The Lord's care and shepherding is very specific, actually even toward one. Again, you pray to the Lord, one. There's a lot of instances in the Bible, I don't have that much time, but where there are crowds, and the Lord leaves the crowd to take care of one person. You know, there's the woman that has the flow of blood. The crowd is pressing upon the Lord, and the woman touches the hem of his garment. Power leaves him. And, you know, who touched me? Disciples are, the crowds are everywhere. What are you talking about? But the Lord's care is for one. Zacchaeus couldn't see because he's short. And his crowds are really tall. I can kind of sympathize with that. You can't. So he's got to climb the tree to go see the Lord. And the Lord doesn't look at the rest of the crowd. He sees him. He says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. His care is for one. The song that we were singing before with Luke 15. He leaves 99 to go after one. In John, there are 9 cases at the beginning. 7 of the 9 are to individuals. So when we pray, we should pray, Lord, of this list, which one is the one? Who should I care for? Lead us to one. Okay? We should come together with companions once a week to fellowship about, pray for, and study every case of those whom we are burdened for. This is the practice. Those of you that went to the training, those of you who are familiar with Exodus, this is the practice of the breastplate. This has already been alluded to a couple times. The high priest wore a breastplate with 12 stones. On it was inscribed Hebrew letters that were actually typified, that typifies actually the word being inscribed into us. But not only that, those words were names, actually the names of tribes. So the high priest actually didn't just have words. He had people inscribed. And it says not on his breast, on his heart. You make a long list on paper. Eventually, we need to pray that list into our heart so that it is inscribed in us. The Lord speaking comes when we have God's word constituted into us. Also, it comes when we have people on our heart. When you have that person that you're thinking of, the Lord has burdened you with, what do you say to them? You know, I'm going to go have an appointment. I'm going to have coffee with them. Is it just to hang out? Is it haphazard? Or do we get together with our companions? We pray. We bring the breastplate to the Lord, and all of a sudden the Lord infuses us with a word. Then we have a burden. We go have coffee with them, not just to have fun, but we have something to minister. You become a steward of the grace of God. Okay, last point. We should not expect to have a quick result, but continue to labor with inexhaustible patience and unceasing intercession. I thought this point was kind of funny. Does anybody have inexhaustible patience? I mean, I don't. You kind of need to be God for that, don't you? You need to pray. I'll just say I appreciated a verse. If I can find it. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering unceasingly your work of faith, labor of love, and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father. Work of faith. We work, we take action, not because of ourselves, but because of faith. Labor of love. What's the difference between work and labor? Work is just the activity. The labor is something. When you're laboring, something is laborious to you. It's a little bit deeper. It's a labor of what? Love. Again, love people. I'm not born to love people. I'm born to love me. I like me. But we have another life in us. 1 John 3:4. We know that we have passed out of life into death because we love death into life. Sorry, death into, that's a big switch. Okay, death into life because we love the brothers. We love the brothers. We love the new ones that are with us. That is a function of the life within you, not only to bear fruit, but to love them. Right? And when we pray for them, we care for them. Even though that love is not something that's natural to us, it gets cultivated. It grows. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, yearning in this way over you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you became beloved to us. I don't like people, but when you visit and you get into their situation, you have a burden for them, all of a sudden, you begin to care. You begin to love that person, right? And actually, it's in that love that you begin to have an endurance of hope. What is the hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't trust the outward situation, but I trust Christ working in you. So this way, we should not estimate our results. Maybe this person is not doing so well. We get disappointed. Actually, you should just keep laboring, because you don't know what Christ is doing in them. Maybe down the road, somebody that's doing well now might not be doing well later. And somebody that's not doing so good, he's slow. We have a lot of these in Charlottesville. They, over a lot of years, they seems like, you know, nothing. And then senior year, they're about to graduate. All of a sudden, oh, they're in all the meetings. They're preaching the gospel. They love the Lord. You have no idea. It is just a function of Christ in you. So we realize the life is within that person, so we trust in that life. Okay, let's read the focus together. After being blended in twos or threes through mutual fellowship, prayer, and care, we must corporately fulfill our function and responsibility to love others and preach the gospel to them as a part of our normal gospel living.
Amen. Okay, some announcements. 1 o'clock, the brothers will meet right here, and we will go out on the gospel today. So what we hope happens is we gather together, we can sing a little bit, we can begin to pray ourselves, right, into God. We'll break up into groups, maybe have some more prayer, and then go out. So anyway, that will happen at 1 today. Sisters, you are free to go rest, to study, exercise, something like this if you'd like to. The hall here will be open until 2:30, and those who are not going out are welcome to be here until then, so until 2:30. The hall will be locked from 2:30 to 5:30, and at 3:45, this is a change from what's on your schedule, so pay attention here. At 3:45, we'd like you to group up in your dorm, okay? So at that point, the group leaders will take your attendance. That will be at 4 and at 5. Attendance at 4. So group up at 3:45, 4 o'clock, attendance, group leaders, and then you'll have your twos and threes time. Okay, 5:30, serving ones will meet here, 6 o'clock dinner. Lunch, the service schedule is on that wall back there, but anyway, stand up when your group is called. The description of what you're doing is on that wall, okay? But anyway, room 855, can you stand? Okay, you have the lunch cleanup with trash and tables, okay? Room 953 and 950, 953, 950. Okay, you all have lunch cleanup. That's food, related to the food and wiping down, things like this. Okay, description's on the wall back there. 845, brothers, 845. Restock the brothers' bathroom upstairs, paper, etc. Okay. 941, sisters. Okay, you can restock the sisters' bathroom. Okay. And 931, sisters, room 931. Okay, there's one of you. You and your roommate have the... You have the kitchen. If you can sweep the kitchen and take care of the trash there in the kitchen. And then 832, brothers, 832. Who's in 832? Brothers, can we check our badges? Find out where 832 is? Maybe the... Trine, are you in 832?
830.
832. 34. Okay. So we need somebody else to clean the windows. Two brothers volunteer. Okay. Are y'all in the same room? Okay. Where two or three are gathered. So Matt, you help them. God will be in your midst. Okay, you have the windows. And you all will be able to go through the line first. Okay, the dinner schedule tonight. This is important. I think this has been missed in the past, so just pay attention here. Room 823. We don't get a chance to tell you this before then, but tonight you're going to take care of the trash at dinner. Okay, after dinner. Okay, and then room 956 and 16. That's sisters. 915, 916. 915, 916. Okay, so you all will take care of the tables after dinner. Okay, thank you. And then evening music service, Caleb Swift, where are you? Caleb, Josh, right next to you. And Becky Wagner, Raphael, where's Raphael? Yeah, there you are. And Abraham Romero, Abraham. Okay, you all have music service tonight. And then ushering will be Sam Chambers. I think that's all we have. We can dismiss for lunch the same way we have. Let's take care of being clean in our chairs.